Well, I wish that I swam more. I wish that I ran more. But no matter how hard I try to increase the amount of times that I get out of the house or get to the swimming pool, there always seems to be something, or certainly an excuse, for me not to do it. I cannot feel like the only one here that feels like that. Life sometimes, doesn't it? It just feels busy. And if we're honest, sometimes life, it can feel overwhelming. That there seems to be a list of endless things to get done. Different demands on us, responsibilities or jobs in the house that just need to be done. Hospital appointments to attend, exams to be rising for, or at least maybe not in the summer holidays. But even now, in the middle of the holiday period, there can be things that seem like an endless task of list of requirements. Checking that the bags are packed, checking that the bags are unpacked, checking that the washing has been done, visiting family, getting a job, getting the kids ready for going back to school or college or university. For many of us, there seems to be no rest in life, in the life that we live today. Constant demands on our time and distractions from the ever-competing pools where we commit our time and our energy. See, I wish I swam more. I wish that I ran more. And the truth of it is I could make time for it. There normally is a quick 30-minute window in the day where I could get out of the house and carve out that time. Well, the one thing that the Lord has equally blessed all of us with is 24 hours in a day. And here is the thing, what we do with that, or don't do, that is a choice. And it is something that God, he wants to speak into and speak to us today. Ask me how I am after this morning's service, or if you have asked me that in the past. A common phrase that I would reply to you, and a habit I probably have got into, is saying, busy. This feeling of being overwhelmed, this feeling of being busy, this is not a phenomenon of the present day. In today's passage, we meet two sisters, Martha and Mary, and ask Martha what her response is and how she would be doing. It would probably be that of busy, perhaps frustrated, irritated, and maybe even overwhelmed. Let's just go back for a moment, back into that scene that Luke has just described for us. Jesus, he's on the move again. He and his disciples are traveling, teaching and healing and proclaiming the kingdom of God. Jesus has gained a reputation, and people, they are eager to host him. And then in verse 38, we read, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. This is no random stop. This is the village of Bethany, a familiar place for Jesus. And Martha, practical, capable, hospitable Martha, steps into what she has been probably been done before, welcoming Jesus into her home. And in a world where hospitality is everything, especially in Jewish culture, Martha was doing exactly what was expected and more. She's stepping up, honoring Jesus with her generosity. And with him, likely the 12 disciples, maybe others too. And that's a lot of mouths to feed. With no Uber Eats, no Sainsbury's local around the corner, suddenly it feels like quite a challenge, and no doubt a sudden source of stress. And with hosting, it comes pressure. So we can picture her, can't we? Rushing around the house, kneading the dough, preparing the dishes, fetching the water, making sure that everything is just right. The fire needs tending to, the floor swept, the food seasoned, the table set. She's giving it everything that she's got. And meanwhile, her sister Mary, she's not helping. She's sitting at Jesus' feet. And now you can feel the tension building. Martha looks over again and sees no sign of Mary. The weight of the preparations grow heavier and her frustration begins to boil over. And finally, she bursts out, but not at Mary, but at Jesus. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." So it's easy to come to the passage today and think, which sister am I? But I don't want us to come to a passage today thinking that it is a biblical personality test. The point is not to think, am I A, reflective Martha, Mary, or B, proactive Martha? No, rather we need to see this passage as two responses to Jesus, where our priorities lie, how we engage with each other, and what Jesus has to say about it all. So this morning, we're going to be looking at this passage with the following three questions. Firstly, how do we respond to Jesus? How do we respond to each other? And thirdly, how does Jesus respond to us? So firstly, how do we respond to Jesus? So what are the two responses that we can look at? Well, Martha, busy, serving, action. Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet. Firstly then, if we were to look at Martha's response to Jesus, she kicks straight into service mode. Martha's motives here, they're not wrong. She loved the Lord. She wanted to serve him with all that she had. And she thought that what she was doing by serving him was absolutely right, but her sense of proportion was all wrong. There's no mistake that Luke, and by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, places this passage here in Scripture. And no doubt there's probably chronological reasons for that too. But just quickly, for our benefit this morning, as we haven't been reading through the Gospel of Luke to get to this point, it comes straight after Jesus sends out the 72. And following that, a parable about proactively loving your neighbor through sacrificially and physically supporting them. And then it starts a new section within Luke's gospel where the writing changes, and here there's a particular focus on getting life's priorities and proportions correct. We can therefore detract, can't we, that serving and acts of service, they're not in themselves bad. And as we've just been thinking about in the previous term through the book of James, and they can show our faith, can't they, in what we do. However, Martha's idea of what had to be done, that was different to Christ's. And there's firstly, there's two clues as to where Martha, I think, got this wrong. Firstly, in verse 40, read with me right in the middle of this passage, we read a short section that says this: "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made." Martha was distracted. Her service, rather than drawing her closer to Christ, it ended up taking her further away from him. And the second clue as to where Martha got this wrong is the words that she speaks. What Martha is implying when complaining about her sister is that she's saying that service is better than spending time with Jesus. See, Martha has chosen to serve and is so convinced that that is the right option, she calls out her sister who's chosen differently to her. So who here is like this? Who is so quick to serve, so quick to want to love the Lord in what we do? We miss the very heart of where he has called us to be, sat at his feet, listening to his word. Well, recently I've been talking to a colleague and friend at work about faith, and more to the point, actually, expressions of faith and what this looks like. And she's been absolutely fascinated by how the motives of the individual to act and behave in a certain way shows something of the belief and the faith that they have within. And so when I started talking to her about grace, the justification of faith alone, and not through works, it took her by complete surprise. explaining to her that we don't need to do anything, to pray in a certain way, to cleanse ourselves in a certain ceremony, to make ourselves right with God, in order to make ourselves right with God, but rather we have a Savior who has paid the price for our sins, and we have the full righteousness of God through Christ's work at the cross. Well, that it completely changed her view and her mindset of what Christianity was all about. See, Christ, as I said to her, he doesn't want our religion. He doesn't want our works. No, Christ, first and foremost, he wants us. So you see, Christ would have much preferred Martha's fellowship than her service. And Christ would much prefer your fellowship than your service. To think that we can add anything to the works of the cross is foolishness. There is no work or service that Jesus needs from us. So you know, he has done it all. We do not need to do anything for him. So if Martha has not responded to the right way to Christ, let's look to see what Christ says is the correct way. Let's look at Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. Well, sitting at Jesus' feet. This sounds great, but what does it mean for us? Mary, physically, she had Jesus sat right in front of her, and so spending time at his feet and spending time in his presence, well, how does that work? How does that work for us today? Well, like Mary, you see, we too often face options as to what we do or what we cannot do, and there just isn't the time to do everything. Well, a number of years ago, I think it was while I was at university, actually, I was in a conversation with a couple of friends, and one was listing the places of the world that they just really wanted to get to see. They were planning, and they were telling me how they were planning on working extra hard, spending every hour that they could within the working day, and maybe even beyond that, in order to save up and to work, in order to realize this dream. I'm sure many of us probably have been asked, haven't we, what's on our bucket list? What do we want to achieve? Well, my other friend, he was sat there listening quietly, and he simply said, why? And I can't remember what my first friend kind of explained why the motivation was there, but it clearly wasn't to my friend who asked that question satisfaction. Because he simply said, well, what's the point? You see, you may think that what you're doing now is all good and well, but what is greater is an eternity spent with the Lord, where far greater things will be seen that is possible in this world. And he implored my other friend, don't miss out now on starting that journey today with the Lord. Because actually, you can work every hour that you've got in the day. You can be saving for all of these different experiences, but you will miss out on the most precious thing. And so, like with Mary, life's priorities, well, they will not always sort themselves out in order for us to do. But in insisting and sitting at the Lord's feet, see, well, we need to know that that is life's number one priority. And it's our first necessity. And if we don't prioritize that, there will be thousands of other things that will compete for that space and will quickly take that place and rob us of the good part of our lives. So how do we get this right then? Well, I think the one thing which Martha should have done is to sit at Jesus' feet and to listen to him. See, the reason that she's got this wrong is precisely because she had not first sat at his feet and listened to him long enough to find out what he regarded was the most paramount thing should be. See what we do in public, our serving, or saying grace when we've got friends coming round for food, or attendance at church on a Sunday. What we do in public, that is seen. But what we do in private often shows our faith. So when I say spending time at Jesus' feet, what am I talking about? Well, time spent on our knees before the Lord in prayer. Time studying his word and reading the scriptures. Time spent in his presence. These are the things that we should be prioritizing in life. See, ministry is important, yes, but it's not as important as being ministered to first. This should be our first and our foremost priority. In life, there are many demands, and there are extra demands that we might want to put upon ourselves. A spotless, tidy house. Being able to keep up with all the latest films and Netflix releases. Researching all the football players that we need to put into our fantasy football team so we can win the church league this year. Go for a run. Get to the gym. Practice that sport that little bit more so we get in the team. What we do with our time is a choice. And our response is a consequence of this. We only have so many hours in the day, and Jesus has something to say about how we spend them. And so, through all of life's duties and necessities, there is one supreme necessity which must always be given priority. And where given the opportunity should be chosen at the exclusion of all other options. Primarily, this is to be sat at Jesus' feet and to listen to his word. Look, perhaps you're not convinced, but walk through this with me just for a moment. If there was a creator of all things, and if this creator was prepared to visit us, and through his incarnation, this creator chose to speak, and if in speaking, he chose to reveal his will, well then, it should be our duty as his creatures, and actually it ought to be our highest pleasure, to sit at his feet and listen to his word. So then, with this in mind, a house that's slightly messy, not being able to keep up with the relentless Netflix releases, not winning this year's fantasy football league, not getting out for a run, not working those extra hours to fund that holiday, not getting into the sports team, maybe not even getting all of those highest achieving grades. Well, they don't stand in comparison, do they, to spending time at Jesus' feet? Well, if we thought about how do we respond to Jesus, I want to just take us for a moment about how we maybe think about how we respond to each other. So we can learn something. Next slide, please, Dirty. So we can learn something from the way that these two sisters interact with each other. And although not the major thrust for us in this passage, it really would be worth unpacking this, particularly for us within a church context. Well, firstly, let's think about how the sisters look at each other. Mary looking at Martha. Well, undoubtedly, Mary will have observed Martha serving. And we don't really get any narrative in this passage as to how Mary responds to Martha, other than saying that she is sat at Jesus' feet. We don't get to hear if she says anything or feels anything. But I think that we can take it that she would have had the eyes to see that her sister was busy, and certainly if it wasn't clear before Martha's outburst, the ears to hear it. Well, for us, it is easy for us to look at other people serving and have a range of emotions. Perhaps jealousy at others' giftings, which maybe you feel you don't have. Look, if that is the case, in these instances, we need to take that to the cross. Before the Lord, and take that before the Lord in how we're feeling, and if we're building up any animosity towards others who are serving us in love and kindness. But rather, how we can be responding to others is for praying for those who are serving us, thanking the Lord for them. See, we need to be ensuring that they are equipped and they are restored themselves. And we should be encouraging them up, thanking them, and building them up in the Lord. Well, we don't get much, do we, about how Mary looks at Martha, but a little bit more about how Martha looks at Mary. Looking at how Martha builds up frustration with Mary, we can bring this, can't we, sometimes into a church or small group or wherever we ourselves are serving. And it is a danger that we all need to be aware of and examining our hearts for where sin exists. See, Martha looks at her sister's apparent lack of activity, and what does she see? She sees laziness as something that is worth less than her. And she questions her intentions. And we need to be very careful to not to look at others in church and have that same attitude as Martha. Isn't it quick to think, well, they're only serving on one rota, but I'm serving on two. And if we start thinking like this, we need to flee from these thoughts. See, Martha's outburst, it shows us something ugly. And where something good, serving others, can be twisted into something other by our sinful hearts. She puts her sister down in front of the whole room. In her coming to Jesus, she not only says that serving is better than spending time with Jesus, but she's also implying that she is better than her sister and expecting that Christ is going to endorse her in this. Those who serve should never think that they are better. For we should be following the example of Christ, the one who washes his disciples' feet. And those who serve, they certainly should not be putting others down, making others feel guilty. See, as we read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 8, which should be on the screen there. I'm not going to be able to read it from here, but hopefully, thankfully, I've got it here. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. No, rather, he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So Martha might think that she's got it all together. She might be looking at service and seeing herself as more important and having more responsibilities. But serving needs to be showing others Christ. And actually, I see so many examples of this across our church here this morning. So many examples of others putting other people's needs before their own. But there is a warning here. And that is not to think that serving others will make you feel better. It makes you better than them or stronger than them. Or used to gain power over them. And we hear this all too regularly, don't we, in the news of people misusing their position of power. And I hope and I pray that that is nothing and that we'd never see that here. We must look to Christ in how he first serves us, becoming like us and laying down his life for us in our place, so that we might have freedom and forgiveness that we can find at the foot of the cross. We need to serve each other. As I said before, though, we need to be ministered to before we minister to others. And this is absolutely true and one of the key messages that we should be taking away from this morning. And there should be absolutely no guilt in this. So hear me this morning if you are weary, tired, burned out by any sort of service, spend time at Jesus' feet and feel no guilt, no shame in doing so. However, look, church simply, it doesn't and it couldn't run without people serving on rotas. Or at least it could, but we might not be ending up sitting on the floor and without any sound, without being welcomed into the building, without being given a drink, without the children being ministered to. Look, the list, it could go on, it could go on. So undoubtedly, we do need people serving in church, but we need these people who are serving to be ministering to us in all sorts of different ways, to firstly be ministered to from the feet of Jesus. So here's the question. How do we at Mighton Church, how do we respond to each other? Well, I think it's clear. If we became a church of Marthas running to Jesus in frustration in that we are doing more than the person sat next to us, carrying more, then, well, the church might have lots of full rotas. Church suites might be overrun with people doing things, and maybe we could be doing more and more things. But we would be failing in our duty to serve one another in Christ and to point each other to him in our words and our actions. And here's where I've landed this morning as I've been praying through this passage. I think we firstly need to be looking at our own hearts. For some of us, as I mentioned, we need to be spending more time at Jesus' feet. Maybe that means stepping back from the busyness of serving and doing. But for others, and I suspect maybe this might actually mean stepping up into more areas of service. Why? Well, not because being busy is better, but because it serves others around us in allowing them to rest at the feet of Jesus. Look, it's one of the reasons as elders, we want to be proactive in giving the full-time elders sabbaticals, time to spend at the feet of Jesus. Does this mean that during that time there is more to be shouldered by the others? Well, yes. But it's important that we do this to give them time. And so too for many in the church serving and giving of themselves, we need to be looking to one another and serving each other and allowing each of us to spend time at Jesus' feet. Well, lastly, how does Jesus respond to us? Well, Jesus responds to both women in different ways. But not in a way where he admonishes one and praises the other, nor validates one at the expense of the other. No, Jesus does not pitch either of these sisters against each other. Rather, Jesus sees that both have a heart for him, and in his response teaches them, the others that are listening, and he teaches us today too, where his priorities are and what he sees as most important. So, to Mary, Jesus' response to her is to honor and to validate her. Perhaps we don't see this with 21st century Western eyes reading this. But the fact that Jesus hasn't already sent Mary away, the fact that he not only allows, but then actively encourages and praises Mary for sitting at his feet and listening to his teaching, that is revolutionary. See, we might breeze over this whole passage if we were reading it through Luke's gospel continuously, but 2,000 years ago, our ears would have pricked up and our eyebrows raised as we read this. You see, being able to sit at a rabbi's feet in the first century Middle East was preserved for male privilege. But you see, Jesus doesn't turn her away. No, he validates her position. And this isn't a standalone incident of Jesus welcoming women or maybe controversial people to sit and to come to him. See, if we think among the other women, the women in his wider disciples, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, or if we look across the 12, the tax collectors, the fishermen, or how he engages with those from other places, or those that society deemed to be sinners. See, as we look at Mary, we can see that Jesus welcomes all to sit at his feet. If you are here this morning and you feel outcast by society, if you feel weak, if you feel unworthy, Jesus says, come. He welcomes you. Like Mary, you are able to sit at his feet. But as is so often the case, when Jesus lets in controversial people, he normally gets criticized or challenged. But this time, it doesn't come from the Pharisees, but instead it comes from Martha. And to Martha, Jesus' response is that of gentleness. A rebuke, yes, but he speaks gently to her. See, the doubling of her name in verse 41, Martha, Martha, that communicates tenderness. This is not harsh, but it is gentle. Where we see the doubling of names in a number of places of Scripture, it shows emotion, it shows tenderness and intentionality. We have just thought about the ugliness of Martha's outburst, and Jesus could have rightly rebuked her harshly, but instead his response is heartfelt, slow to anger, and directs Martha to where she can be restored. As we look to Martha, we can see how Jesus deals with our sinful nature. So if you're here this morning and you feel that your sin is too great to come before Christ, if you feel that he will reject you for what you have done, if you are struggling with a repetitive pattern of sin and you just feel that you cannot bring that to Christ through fear of him judging you too harshly, Jesus says, come. He welcomes you. Like Martha, he is gentle. Though we shouldn't be deceived, he is fierce in his judgment of sin. But to the sinner, he is gentle and he welcomes them to him. See, he doesn't ask anything of us because he doesn't need anything from us. At the cross, Jesus did all the work in restoring us to him. Jesus welcomes us to him like Mary, and he is gentle with us like Martha. Rest in this truth. Christ has paid for our sins in his death on the cross, and in his resurrection, he has conquered death, bringing us into new life with him. Well, the last thing that we see in verse 42 that Jesus says connects what Martha has just said, actually with many of the Psalms. In your versions in front of you, it will probably say, Mary has chosen what is better. But in other translations, this is written as, Mary has chosen the good portion. And in that, we immediately see the link that is made between the literal and the spiritual food. Jesus' words here should remind us of the Psalms that declare that the Lord is my portion. Martha thinks that she is serving Jesus by giving him a meal, but Jesus clarifies that he is the one serving the real food, and Mary is right to sit at his feet and at his table. So my last question to us this morning, to each of us, are you too busy for Jesus? And this is regardless as to whether you would call yourself a Christian or not. Are you too busy for Jesus? Look, I want to swim more. I want to run more, but I don't. I choose to do other things with my time. Whether or not I know it, it is a conscious decision. And I put this to you this morning. Let's not say that the same of spending time with Jesus. Let's not miss the opportunity to sit at his feet. Let's not let that pass us by because scrolling on a phone, having the perfect home, or being too busy with rotas is pulling us away from sitting at his feet. Jesus welcomes us to him. And as we've already seen in this series, we need to dwell deeply and regularly on the forgiveness that we have received through Jesus. For when we forget it, that can lead to judgment of others. Oh, but when we dwell on it, when we sit at his feet, well then, there is an overflow of love and of joy and of freedom. Can I encourage you this week? No matter how crazy busy you might feel. Do the one thing that is needed. Spend time at the feet of Jesus. Well, let me pray now for us as the band come back up. Father God, we thank you that you welcome us to you. We pray that this week we too might be able to sit at the feet of Christ and not put other things before you. Lord, as we reflect on the love and the compassion that you have shown us through the Lord Jesus, Lord, let us marvel in that more and more. And as we ask, Lord, that by your Spirit, you create a unity among us so that we build each other up in service and humility, and we point each other in doing so to the foot of the cross. Amen.